His blessings. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to speak for Jesus. I'm not ashamed to praise His name. I'm not ashamed to own His blessings. Oh, praise the Lord. Not ashamed.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone back this evening for our evening worship service. I thank Brother Burton for those songs. I'm not ashamed. There was a crowded flight that was canceled after WestJet's 767s had been withdrawn from service. A single attendant was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the desk. He slapped his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class." The attendant replied, "I'm sorry, sir. I'll be happy to try to help you, but I've got to help these people first, and I'm sure we'll be able to work something out." The passenger was unimpressed. He asked loudly so that the passengers behind him could hear, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitating, the attendant smiled and grabbed her public address microphone. "May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?" she began, her voice heard clearly throughout the terminal. "We have a passenger here at gate 14 who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to gate 14. The subject of the lesson tonight is, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? We're going to be in John 15 and 16. I'm going to go through these quickly, prayerfully, so that we can get to where we're trying to get. John 15 and 16. Do you know who I am? That question, as we read in that little passage there, is usually associated with some arrogance. People usually ask that question when they're trying to invoke some influence or trying to let people know that, you know, I'm someone who's important. You should acquiesce to my request because I'm who I am. But we're going to talk about, do you know who I am, in relationship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to read down through chapter 15, rather quickly, just to get some information here. Jesus writes, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me." Jesus is being very clear when he's using the analogy of the vine and the branch, the branches and the vine, the vine and the branch. He's saying that the branch cannot bear fruit except it stays or remains connected to the vine. And he said, in like manner, you cannot be a fruitful child of God unless you abide in me. You cannot bear fruit unless you stay connected to me. And that's important for us to remember as Christians. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, I often read that passage, and I wonder sometimes, do we get the idea that as long as we can have whatever we want, as long as we're faithful Christians? But as faithful Christians, keep in mind that faithful Christians are careful about what it is that they want. So faithful Christians, oh, Lord, I'd like $1 million. I'd like you to give me a house on the Riviera. Faithful Christians are not asking for selfish indulgences like that. It says, if you abide in me, you shall ask what you will. But abiding in me, you're gonna know the kinds of things to ask for. So that's important. Herein, verse number 8, herein Is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit? So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus was constantly encouraging his disciples. He wanted them to understand that they had a true gift as a result of their relationship with him. They had a true gift as a result of their connection with him. Everything that I have, that he was telling his disciples, everything that I have access to as a child of my Father, you too have that same access. Because you are followers of me. You have the same access that I have. You're going to be blessed the same as I am because of your connection with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is the beautiful part of this text. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If we are faithful to God, Jesus, not only is he our older brother, he says, you're my friends. We're friends of Jesus when we do what he commands us to do. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Not only are you going to reap the benefits or the rewards of being a follower of me, you're also going to reap the trials that come along with being a follower of Christ. He says, if the world hates you, be assured that it hated me before it hated you. And they're hating you because you're followers of me. If you were of the world would love his own. If you were followers of the world wouldn't have a problem with you. The world would love you. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If the world had listened to me, they would listen to you, but they didn't. Look at the next verse. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They have no idea about who it is that sent me. And because of that, they have rejected me. And because they have rejected me and they have hated me, because you are one of my followers, they're going to likewise hate you and they're going to reject you. Jesus was clear about what was going to be involved in following him. He wanted his followers to know that these are the things that you're going to encounter in following me. But there is great reward also in following me. I want to be clear about that as well. There is great reward in following me. So never mind the challenges and the tests that you will endure. There are great rewards coming if you remain faithful and if you remain steadfast. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus said, if I hadn't come and shared my word with them, then they wouldn't be at fault for treating me the way that they or treating you the way that they treat you. But because I have given them my word, they have no excuse. They have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's serious. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. If I hadn't shown them miracles, if I hadn't shown you that, shown the world that I was, this man has to have come from God by the miracles that I did. If I had not shown them all of these things, then they would not be at fault for the way that they're treating me and the way that they're treating you. But because all of these things were done in their presence, they have no excuse for hating me. They are rejecting me simply because they just simply don't want to receive me. They don't want to receive me as the Savior of the world. If I had not done any, if I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father. They've seen my works, and still they hate me and also my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. They hated Jesus for no reason at all. He didn't come into the world to do them any harm. He came with the message of salvation, yet they hated him. And they were expecting the Savior, but because he didn't come in the way that they were anticipating, they hated him. They didn't believe him. You know, Jesus didn't come with pomp and circumstance. He came a very humble man. And because of that, they said, he can't be the Savior. He cannot be the one that we've been looking for. Look at him. There's nothing to him. They hated Jesus for no reason at all. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you shall not be offended, or that you should not abandon your faith. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. You remember Paul? Paul thought that he was doing what was right, because he was a follower. He was an adamant follower of the law. So when he was persecuting Christians, he thought that he was doing what was right. So that's what this is saying. That whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you will remember that I told you of them. When these things start happening in your life, remember that I've already told you. You're gonna endure some things following me. Don't come to me blindly. I want you to be aware and be secure in the fact that if I'm going to be a follower of Christ, that's why we must be sure that when we come to Christ, that we are sure that this is what you want to do. Brother Brown used to teach a sermon entitled The Cost of Discipleship. We must count up the cost of following Christ. We must be sure that this is exactly what we want to do, because there are going to be some challenges, there are going to be some trials and tribulations as a result of our following Christ. Even today, in the world in which we live, if we're following Christ, the world cares nothing about God. The world cares nothing about Christianity, nothing about spirituality. The world cares nothing about that. And if we're standing for Christ, if we're standing against the things that the world is perpetuating, we are going to be in the minority, and the world is going to hate you the same way that they hated Jesus. But we must keep in mind that Jesus said, they hated me before they hated you. They hated me and my Father. So don't be surprised by the hatred that is placed upon you because of your stand for what's right. Verse number 3. And these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asked, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. You've been so concerned about the fact that I told you that I was leaving, none of you asked where I was going. Your heart was filled with sorrow because you were going to be separated from me. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them right now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That's just a blessed, to have the Holy Spirit given to us as followers, and to have the Holy Spirit to have that kind of access to God. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit within us as a result of our obedience to God. We have a part of God in us. And that Holy Spirit, he's there to enable us. He's there to give us the strength and the courage to do the things that God would have us to do. We need not be unfaithful. We need not be depressed, despondent Christians, because we have a part of God in us that's cheering us on, that's giving us everything that we need to be successful Christians. And it's important for us to understand and realize that as we go about our daily walk, as we live our lives, the Holy Spirit is living in us. So the Holy Spirit is a witness when we're doing things that God's not pleased with. Amen. The Holy Spirit is right there. He sees that. He's right there with you. When we're not loving one another, when we're not being obedient to God's word, the Holy Spirit is there. And he witnesses all of those things. But on the other side, if we are striving to do the will of God, the Holy Spirit will be there to give us that push, to help us and to enable us, because that's what it is. That's what he is. It's an enabler. He's an enabler. He's an encourager to help us to do the things that God would have us to do. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is he saying? A little while, you shall not see me, and then a little while, you're going to see me again, because I go to the Father. They said these things amongst themselves, but in verse number 20, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves that I said, a little while you shall not see me, and again, a little while you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice over my death. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. When a woman is in labor, she's thinking about the pain and anguish that is associated with bringing forth the child. But once that child comes into the world and she casts her eyes upon that little one's face, she forgets all of the pain that she had to endure to bring this child into the world until such time as that child acts up. Then she remembers that anguish and pain. Was it all worth it? But she said, when that child comes forth, she forgets that anguish. But that anguish, is that sorrow, is soon turned into joy. Verse number 22. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, before, up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. It won't be necessary for me to share stories with you to help you understand. There will come a time when I will just plainly speak to you and you will understand my words. Verse number 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he loved me. And that's the blessing. God loves us because he loves his Son. He loves his son, and as a result of us following his son, God therefore loves us. So if we want the love of God, the creator of the world, if we want the love of God, the sustainer of life, we must love and be obedient to Jesus' commandments. And when we do that, we know and we can be confident that we have the love of God in our lives as well. Why would anyone not want to be a faithful Christian? I know sometimes we stumble and we fall, but when, just like the prodigal son, when we come to ourselves and we come running back home, just remain faithful. Just remain steadfast. Paul, as I mentioned earlier, he was a persecutor of the church, but once he realized and understood the truth, he hit the ground running, and he began to serve God with a fervor that was deeper than what he was doing before. It was as if Paul realized, I've got some time to make up for here. I've been going down the wrong path. The Lord has blessed me to know the truth, and so now I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to serve him with all of my might. And we must be, because God is not conditional in his love for us, we cannot be conditional in our love for God. We can't love God only when things are going well. We can't love God only when things are going, you know, the way that we want them to go. God's love is unconditional, so we can't give him conditional love. We must love him regardless of the things that are going on in our lives, because we understand what we have waiting for us, and we understand the gift that has been granted to us as a result of our obedience to his word. For the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now you're speaking plainly. Now we get it. Now we understand. Now we are sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33 is where we're going to land. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's who Jesus is. If you want to know who he is, that's who he is. He's the one who has overcome the world. He's dealt with many challenges and trials, and sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that when Jesus came to earth, you know, it's easy. It was easy for Jesus. He was the Son of God. But you forget that Jesus came just like us. He was made just like us. So everything that he endured them as a man. Sure, he was the Son of God, but he was not this powerful, untouched being when he walked on earth. He was a man just like we are. So when he was tested, when he had trials and tribulations, he felt those. The Bible talks about Jesus was in all points tempted, just like us. He felt exactly what we feel. That's how he's able to share with us what it takes to overcome and to endure. He says, I have overcome the world. He says, don't be worried. Don't be concerned. Understand, you're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. But understand that I have overcome the world. If you're following me, if you're endeavoring to live your life the way that I have lived mine, then understand that I have overcome the world, and you too can overcome anything that comes your way. There's nothing that happens to us in life that we can't overcome with God's help. It's important, however, for us to remain faithful, steadfast, and unmovable, and not doubt the power of God. He is the creator of this world. He spoke this world into existence. Everything that we see, God is responsible for. He spoke it all. No one else can take credit for what God has done. And because we serve such an awesome and powerful God, we need not ever be discouraged or be concerned about the things that we go through. Because Jesus says, in this world, in the world, you shall have tribulations. You're going to have some challenges. But he says, be of good cheer. I mean, who says that after telling you that you're going to have some challenges? He says, be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. So you just maintain your faith in me and recognize that as long as you stay connected to me, you're going to be fine. You're going to be all right. You're not going to have anything to worry about. It may be uncomfortable. It may be challenging. But think about our brother Paul and the things that he went through. Paul said, this is light affliction. See, these are light in comparison to what I know that I'm headed for. So that's what we must keep in mind as children of God, that Jesus has overcome the world. He has overcome everything that man can throw at him. Everything that man tried to do to him, Jesus overcame all of that. And we too can overcome the world as long as we remain steadfast and unmovable. I hope that the lesson has encouraged you tonight. I hope that you have a deeper sense of who you are and the power that you have within you, and that you will avail yourself of the power that lies within you as children of God, and understand and know that nothing is impossible. We quote the scripture all the time, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As long as Christ is the one strengthening you, you'll be successful in accomplishing the things that God has for you to accomplish. If you're here tonight and you realize that you have sin in your life, you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, you have the opportunity to come to renew your covenant with the Father tonight through the avenue of repentance. And if you're here tonight by chance and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can have the same access that we talked about tonight, but that can only be found as a member of the Church of Christ, the only church that you can read about in the Bible. You come by hearing his word according to John 6:45. Believe that which you have heard, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sins according to Luke 13:3-5. You confess Christ to be the Son of God according to Matthew 10:32. And you complete your act of obedience by being buried in water baptism according to Acts 2:38. And God will send you the gift of the Holy Spirit upon your obedience. And he will add you to the Church of Christ. And he'll forgive you of all of your sins. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
I will trust in the Lord. I